You will conduct in Bucharest works by Enescu, Ravel, Beethoven, Stravinsky and Debussy. How difficult is, maestro, to unveil the essence, the meanings of different works by different composers in different venues?
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, it's part of our work, you know, to try to decipher all that and to learn about the style of every composer, about the background of every country, every style, of course. And there are many things in common because they are using the same notes, you know, and especially today we are traveling so much, have contact with so many different things. But all the composers that you were just naming are just great people, you know, so we feel very much close to this music.
You've conducted, maestro, these works 1,000 times. Do you still discover new things in, let's say, Debussy's La Mer?
Debussy is more mysterious. One has to read the notes he wrote, the signs he's using, and still one doesn't, it's not as precise as, say, Ravel, not in Bolero, but other pieces like Rhapsody Espagnol or his opera, you know, the L'Heure Espagnol. So Ravel is a perfect writer, you know, there is no mistake. Everything, what he wants is written perfectly well. Whereas Debussy is more difficult to read. Sometimes there are some contradictions in the signs that he's using. So obviously we have to add a lot of comprehension, try to understand what he wants, and even that is not so always very clear. So that is not a problem, but it's a much more work.
Maestro Charles de Troyes, what is, in your vision, the essence of Enescu's music?
Oh, Enescu was a great musician, of course. We know him well as a composer, as also he used to be a fantastic violinist and conductor. You know, when I was young, I heard his recording with the Yehudi Menuhin of, you know, the concerto, these famous recordings that he did. And he's a great musician. Well, I've been many times here. So I went to see his house, you know, and it's very touching to see that. And he's one of the great European composers and artists. You know.
What should be the greatest virtue in a great conductor, Maestro Charles de Troyes?
Greatest virtue, I mean, to try to be as close as possible, to be honest with the music you play, to know, to have enough knowledge of all styles, and also then to have a very good psychological sort of attitude towards the musicians who are the one who are producing the music. You're just waving in front of them and encouraging them and trying to inspire them. And all this together requires, on top of it, a lot of experience with the, you know, with the music you do, but also with each concert in lifetime adds to your own experience, and the different orchestras react differently, and all this together makes someone who's capable to really be good in his profession.
A great conductor, maestro, is a globetrotter motivated by his passion for music, for art in general. How hard is for a conductor, for a great musician, to find the balance in his life?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's a very special style of life, you know, but we're traveling for half a century, you know, around the world constantly. It's very exciting, and we try to have a rich approach of the places that we visit and we go when we have time. And between concerts, it's always very nice to take time to understand the country, to read about the country, and to see what the political background, what has made the artistic background of each country, and all this together makes life exciting. If you don't have that, and I think especially if you don't have a sense of adventure, or some people just can't do that. For instance, a young lady who is playing concerts alone, it's very hard for her to just go and just, you know, visit things except for museums and so on, but to go to the country to see a different aspect of each country. So it can be very, very difficult and boring sometimes because it's going from airports to hotels, to concert halls, back to hotel, room service, television, and so on. But it has never been my case because, you know, I've been very curious all my life and I've visited all the countries on this globe, which are 196. So, you know, I'm still very open and very exciting. Like, I like to work again on each score that I'm doing and try to go closer to the composer and to understand the music better. So the same attitude I have towards the countries that I visit and the arts and all the what makes a country interesting.
Now, in 2017, Maestro, how would you describe your music partnership with Marta Argerich?
Oh, Marta, my goodness, I have, met her in 1958 when I was a student in the conservatory in Geneva, and she was there having won her first prize at the Geneva famous international piano competition at the time. So we became very good friends because, we have this Latin attitude, very friendly and so on. And 10 years later, we got married and we have a daughter who is actually in Bucharest today. She's going to film part of the rehearsal tomorrow with Marta. So we, it's very difficult. We had a difficult time because she has a different style of life. She likes to, to stay very late and have discussions and, debating all sorts of subjects. And, for me, it was hard in terms of working the next morning at 9:30 with an orchestra. I couldn't have that. So the lifestyle was difficult, that's all. Otherwise, we were very good friends, and we are still very good friends, and we play around the world very often.
Yes. For a conductor, one of the most important aspects is that an orchestra must be able to sense, to feel in advance what the conductor wants. How far in advance, Maestro Charles Dutoit?
Well, you see, so it's very difficult in a few words to explain all
I
that.
Know.
That's a mysterious. It really depends on each candidate. Each conductor has a different attitude, a different experience, different human feelings. But I mean, basically, we all trying the same thing, to be honest and to play. I personally like to train an orchestra when I like to work with the young people, for instance, and I think at my age, having acquired that enormous experience,
yes,
having met so many great people, great musicians around, having played with so many great soloists and so on, I think it's time for me to try to distribute this knowledge to some young people as long as they want it. But today young people are very spoiled because they have all sorts of information with internet.
Too much information.
A lot. And things go very fast. I don't know how much it stays in their system. I come from a type of a society or time in the development of the society when we had much more time and we had to to find a route somewhere. Today, information goes so fast and so on. So they are spoiled, but there is also a danger of being precisely not having enough roots somewhere, which I think are extremely important for the development and also for the responsibility that we all have towards the music we are doing.
Your legendary recordings, most of them with the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, have garnered so many awards and distinctions around the world. There is so much technology, perhaps too much technology now in the 21st century, Maestro. But I would like to ask you, are the microphones really capable to capture the higher meanings, the truth of classical music?
I mean, you see, if you have a live concert, obviously things go through very quickly. There was a time when people were recording by bits and pieces,
yes.
Radio, for instance, recordings, which, started in the morning with a piece that the orchestra didn't know, so we had to work a little bit and then rehearse a little bit and then record this bit, and then the technician had to stick all these things and so on. That was a terrible time. But You know, for instance, in Montreal, we never worked this way because we didn't have time to do that.
Yes.
We usually were recording things that we were playing the same week, and then we were going to the church where we were recording, and there was one take. We could listen to that, and then another take, and maybe a correction, and that was it. So it's almost, they're almost all live recordings. For instance, the first act of Pelléas and Mélisande by Debussy was only one take. And so
it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's I prefer that thing, that this kind of old-fashioned work in radio at the time. But now, whether the message goes through with a microphone, this I don't really know. Obviously, it will never replace the experience of being in the hall and participating to a performance. The public probably receives, there is more concentration, first of all, because you are in the hall, and you know, there is a dialogue between the orchestra and the public. You receive things and so on, and we also need the reaction of the public, that is the silence, or you know, things that obviously don't exist in a recording. But today music is distributed anytime. Many people listen to Beethoven 9th symphony while they are cooking their potatoes, you know. So it's a very different thing. But I'm very old fashioned, and I believe in having a public and making music for an audience and so on. Now, the radio, of course, is very practical because the distribution is great, and many people who cannot come to a concert for many reasons, mostly financial reasons, because concert tickets cost a lot of money in some cities, so they are very happy to be able to listen to a performance of music.
Now, in these turbulent times, full of political and social crises, I think people need more than ever to find the higher values of the classical music. Am I right?
Oh, of course, you are right. I mean, but the world is what it is. You know, we are more concerned about technology, more about what's happening and politically in the world. We don't have much time to just enjoy things the way it should be. But you know, I'm come from another generation, so obviously what I say correspond to my feelings and my education.
Yes.
But the people who are born now, they don't know that part of it, so you know, they live in this type of society, and this is their message, their way. We are in a new world, obviously, so we have to accept that. It's very hard for the old people, but it's true. I don't think that it will change. It goes on and on and on, and this technological improvement are, you know, sort of the signature of this new society.
What is the philosophy, the credo of your extraordinary life, Maestro Charles Dutoit?
Honesty in music, you see. In music, it's very important. I think that when I work with certain soloists who think that they are more important than the composer, or they are more musical than the composer, and start to do, they overdo things and so on, I don't like that. I think, obviously, a score is written and nothing can be written completely right, you know. I mean, if you play Beethoven sonata, obviously you have to work and work and work and work, and you know, he's not a very friendly composer in a way that you don't receive the message immediately. It's easier with Mozart or Haydn, so to say, but Beethoven is more difficult. And so we have to work a lot and try to feel this message. But I mean, it takes time. It takes a long time. We cannot just do this so lightly.